Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way. Hello, and welcome back to Home But Not Alone. Today, we're talking about our communication skills. As parents, we spend a lot of time with our kids, and when we do get the opportunity to chat with other adults, we quickly realize that we've forgotten how to have adult conversations. So we're going to practice breaking the ice with some fun and unconventional icebreaker questions. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sarah. So, yeah, I don't know about you, but I definitely struggle with this a lot. And I got to tell you, do you ever have those awkward conversations where you think you know what's being said, whether it's especially via text or anything like that? You think and it turns out you are completely wrong. Has that ever happened to you?
For sure. And especially by text, because you can't like even read the other person's their tone of voice.
Yes. Okay. So I got to tell you, this happened to me. Oh gosh, maybe 10 plus years ago, but.
And you still remember.
It sticks with me vividly because of how ridiculous it was of me. So I was talking to a friend who I hadn't seen in a while. And the person was, you know, oh, we're making plans. Yeah, we're next week or a few days from now, whatever it is. And yeah, we're going to do so. Yeah, it'll be nice to see you, whatever it is. And then the person texted me the words, "I can't wait." And my immediate response was, well, you're going to have to wait. Okay. I'm busy tonight. We can't see each other tomorrow. Like, you're just going to have to wait. Like, stop being so impatient. And the person texted me back and was like, I think you've lost your mind. Like, it was one of those, like, no, I meant like, I'm excited, as in this is a common expression. I can't wait for that. Not I'm impatient and unable to wait. So
I literally can't wait.
I can't.
I have to see you now.
Clear your schedule. But it was absolutely absurd, especially considering this was one of the nicest people I've ever met who would never say something like that. So anyway, so.
It is just, it's so hard by text message because you totally lose like all, you know, personality and everything, the tone of voice and facial expressions, just none of it's there. So the interpretation's really up to you, but that is too funny.
I wonder if that's like how, you know, I've talked for years in ministry about how sometimes, like, long before we really fall in love with a person, we'll fall in love with the idea of a person. I wonder if when we're reading someone's texts, unless we know them really, really well, or even if we do, I wonder if maybe we read them internally as our idea of the person instead. I want that anyway.
Yeah, I think that's true.
That just popped into my head because that would explain so many of the confusions and, you know, anyway. All right. Hey, let's do some icebreaker questions today. This is going to be fun. And for all of you who are listening, you know, answer these for yourselves, you know, figure out, maybe learn a little something about yourself or save these to ask other people. So first one, Sarah, what is your most used emoji?
Okay, mine is that laughing, crying face, like with the tears coming out, but the one that's tilted on its side a little bit.
You and I actually talked about this recently because, yeah, I have the exact same one as the most common. I noticed the other day, briefly overtaking that was the check mark, and I thought, I must be accomplishing a lot of things.
Yeah, what are you checking
it's
off,
just
man?
My daily to-do list. I like checking things off. But yeah, it's and then after like a few hours, the laughing, crying face overtook it. Because I want people to know, I really think what I'm saying is funny. Or I really think what you're saying is funny. Although it's usually just
well, yeah,
me.
And that tilted one is definitely a more funny than the regular laugh, cry emoji, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely. No, that's why you got to go all in and be like, I can't even stand it. I'm rolling on the floor laughing, tilting over, whatever. Okay, next one. If you could bring back any fashion trend, what would it be?
Well, this one's kind of tough for me because I don't know anything about current fashion trends. So it's hard for me to say what I'd want to bring back, but maybe pants as pants and not leggings as pants.
Okay.
Can I bring back that one?
I'm okay with that. Yes. Go for it.
Okay. What would you bring back?
Biblical robes because, okay. I have on more than one occasion had to wear a full-on suit, like a three-piece suit.
Yeah, it doesn't sound
as a member of a wedding party in a summer wedding that insisted on taking wedding party pictures outside for several hours. And I'm pretty sure I melted away, like that I'm actually all of my everything is gone. I became a different person because I sweated out so much. But biblical robes, I suspect, at least with the opening at the bottom, would be breezier. And so there's that.
You'd think so. Yeah.
I would hope so. And then I can't imagine anything less breezy than a three-piece suit. But no, I would want it for that reason. I'd want it because there'd be a lot more modesty. I'd want it because there would be a lot less, ooh, what am I going to wear today? Your biblical robe. Right. That's what you're wearing today. Okay. Like there's no, it's kind of the uniform. You just throw it on. I mean, we'd have to, I tried looking this up. And the problem with looking up biblical stuff is it's so hard to know what is people just, you know, making up nonsense and what is an inaccurate source that means well and what's real. But yeah, I mean, different fabrics existed. There wasn't really cotton from what I understand, but there was a little silk. It was a lot of wools and stuff. So I'd want things to be more cotton because we can do that now. And that would be a lot nicer. Maybe some silk stuff, but mostly just like good long biblical robes, standard one piece. I think there was some version of an undergarment, but I don't know. I'm not an expert on biblical.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I'd bring back. I think that it'd make my life easier. You know, but anyway, all right, next one. Let's say you have your own late night talk show. Now, this can be the standard sit behind a desk, a fake desk, and interview some guests right next to you. Or it can be a sit around a table with, you know, a group of people having a serious or comedic discussion. It could be a long one-on-one hour-long interview, like any sort of late night talk show you want to have. Who would you invite on as your very first guest?
Well, I'm glad that you're explaining this because, like, I have no idea what the heck a late night talk show would be for. Other than just talking. I mean, it sounds like you're talking. But I would think as my first guest, probably I'm going to be pretty nervous because I don't know what I'm doing because it's my first time doing this talk show. I would want to invite someone that I'm comfortable talking with so I can, like, do a real good job and keep the conversation going. So I guess since I talk... invite you first, and then after that maybe I would invite like someone who I don't know, like a big name in Catholic social media or something, that maybe Scott Hahn or something. I don't know.
That'd be fun and
I could learn a lot from
and
him.
I'd be honored to be your first guest on the, you know, the Sarah show. That would be great,
except I feel like those would be two totally different vibes, so maybe I'd have to pick a different direction, you know. Like we'd be all funny, and then with Scott Hahn I feel like you'd have to be serious.
I don't know, he uses humor and stuff in his of his presentations and some of his books and whatnot. I would go with someone kind of like what you were talking about, a famous Catholic. I'd go with Father Mike Schmitz.
Oh, that's
because
a good one.
One, he's got that Bible in a Year podcast thing going on right now. He has all of his, you know, social media stuff. He's used to being in front of an audience and both entertaining people and getting across a really good, you know, message. So I have no idea if he would be fun to hang out with in real life because I've never met the man, but
right.
I suspect that he would be.
I mean, he seems.
He does. He does. But I never like to make too many assumptions based on how somebody presents themselves. But you're right. He does seem like a fun guy. But I think he'd be really good in front of an audience. I think he'd be really good at entertaining people. But again, also at getting. And he'd have good stories. He has good stories. And that's. I heard somebody once say, talk show host Conan O'Brien once said, the best guest he has is Tom Hanks, actor Tom Hanks, because Tom comes with stories to tell. He has actual material prepared. So, you know, I feel that's like Father Mike would have that. All right.
Yeah.
Next question. If you had to delete all but three apps from your phone, Which okay. ones would you keep? Now, here's the clarification. Okay. I consider talk and text, those are not apps that you'd have to get rid of, or you have to use, you know, one of these spots to save it, because you could get talk okay. and text on a flip phone. So if they still...
Right. Like, what else would my phone be for if it couldn't do talk yes. and text?
Then? So that's...
those would be obvious.
That's choices. Not one of the three. So what three would you keep?
Okay, so I would keep Google Maps.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because I cannot get anywhere without my Google Maps. I mean, I guess I could go back to like the MapQuest thing, but I'm most often going places with my children, and they're not going to be good navigators. So yeah, I want to keep my Google Maps. I would keep maybe my podcast player so that I can listen to my podcasts while I'm, you know, doing the dishes or doing the chores. And the third one I would keep is my Temp Drop app, because that's for like my wearable thermometer for NFP. And it saves me from having to wake up in the morning and take my temperature with the thermometer. And it's a whole heck of a lot more convenient. So there's no way I'm giving that one up. So those are my three.
Oh, that's good. Those are good. See, now I'm tempted to, I forgot about maps. I forgot about how often
you're going to change I get your lost. Answer.
Well,
now.
No, I'm not, because I feel like I want to keep these others and then just get rid of or get some sort of GPS thing for my car. But yep. I don't want to buy one of those because those cost money. And, you know, I don't have money.
I used to have.
Well, not everybody.
But then
a lot of
people you have to update. Oh, yeah. It, so it doesn't.
Ugh.
Yeah, right. And that's
whatever. You know, I'm going to skip. I'm not going to use that one. I'm going to say my three okay. are going to be my podcast app, because it is just an insane amount of content that you can get from that. It's more content than I could ever consume. So there's plenty of entertainment and educational value in that for me. Another one would be my medical app, which is how I interact with, you know, doctors and schedule appointments. I even did that earlier today without having to wait on a very long hold line. I was like, I didn't
convenient.
Know that was possible. And my
I
wife explained it to me. I was like, this is fantastic. The third one I'm thinking would be Google Drive, because I do a lot of, whether it's show prep for this or writing for Chased Love or for other things, different projects I'm working on. It's hard for me to constantly sit down at my computer because kids and life, but I am frequently just walking around my house, narrating things into Google Drive that when I get to sit at my laptop, it's already there. And so to be able to go back and forth between those and access it from both devices is really convenient. So those would be my three.
That's handy. And you know how I know that you narrate all of the things that you write?
Because they sound exactly like me and have lots of typos. I don't know.
Oh, no, they do sound like you, like your speaking voice sounds like it, but also because when you send me a text, sometimes there's a funny, I don't know if you'd call it an autocorrect, but the way that it types in what you're saying, like it makes no sense unless I read it out loud. You know that
yes.
game where you have to read things out loud to figure out what it is? Sometimes I feel like I'm playing that when I read your
That's
text
funny.
Messages.
That's funny. For years, I've said the word enormous into my phone, and my phone always says enormous and capitalizes normous. I've looked it up.
What
there's
is normous?
No place called normous. I have no idea what my phone is thinking, but that's what it has anyway.
that's
bizarre. Okay. When you get dressed, do you put on your shirt first or your pants first?
Pants? What do you think I am, a crazy person?
I put on my pants first, but yeah.
You know, I put this question out on social media because my Grammy called me one day to ask me, do you put your shirt or your pants on first? And I was like, pants, obviously, doesn't everybody? But I put this question out on social media. There are a lot of crazy people out there who put their shirt on first.
I don't know. That seems odd. If somebody does that, tell us what your thought process is behind that. You know, send us a message or whatever and be like, here's why. Because I'm like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like deodorant's still drying and I need to put on, you know,
oh, yeah, exactly.
Let that stuff breathe for a second before you cover it up.
Right, before you
put your
shirt on.
I don't know, that's just, I don't know.
Yeah, so tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Explain that thought processing to us because
we
don't
get
understand.
It. All right, next question. you can have an unlimited supply of one thing for the rest of your life. The item must be worth less than $25 per unit. What is it?
Now, this is tough for me because I'm not very good at thinking ahead. I just think about what I want right now. And right now, what I want is these blue diamond almond crackers. They're like, I don't know if they're little rice crackers or whatever, but they're absolutely delicious. And they're kind of expensive as far as crackers go. But if somebody were to give me an unlimited supply of those, I would totally eat them all because I buy like the little box of it when I go shopping while I order it in my grocery order or whatever. And then I always tell myself, I'm going to eat just like a little handful of these and then I'm going to save the rest for later. And I never do. I just pound down the whole package of them every time. So bring it on. I'll probably get sick of them in a month or so, but I'll be, it'll be my own undoing.
Whatever. See, I'm far more practical than you are. And we know that. I'm far more practical than most people to a point that I think it's annoying sometimes to other people. But the two that I thought of, because I thought of two, I thought of one and I was like, wait a second, maybe this other one. But the first one I was thinking air filters for my furnace. Because I did the math and I was like,
that's insanely boring.
It's insanely boring and practical. But I did the math. And if I continue to use air filters, to be fair, actually, I have a reusable air filter right now. But if I had a non-reusable air filter, then I would, well, first of all, I wouldn't have to wash this one out all the time. And that would be nice. But I could save as much as $9,000 if I live another 40 some odd years, however long I did the math, 50 years, I think. So $9,000 in my lifetime, that's pretty good. But then I thought of something else and I thought, oh my gosh, batteries. You got like smoke alarms, you got, you know, like thermostats, you got remotes, you got every toy ever that's annoying, like all of those.
Oh, well, I'm like anti-battery.
You're anti-battery. Why are you anti-battery?
It drives me crazy to have these batteries and always have to go buy more.
So not like for an environmental reason or anything. You're just...
Well, yeah. Well, there's that too, because you're supposed to dispose of them for a certain way, but I don't know how. And like, it sounds really annoying. So I just put them in the trash and then I feel like guilty about that. And I don't like that. So then I just don't.
I like how your first answer was, ah, cause they're difficult. And then your second answer was also, you know, the environment. I like the order of that. That's fun.
Yeah. That's, I know.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Okay. If you could see one movie again for the first time, what would it be and why?
Oh, I have no clue. Let me think. If I could see one movie again for the first time. So this means I haven't seen it before. I haven't had any like bias going into it and I can actually sit and enjoy it. Maybe Ender's Game.
Okay. I still haven't seen that.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. Ender's Game, the book that it's based on, is probably my favorite book of all time. Really well written. It was one of the first books that I ever, like, actually really loved and wanted to read over and over again. And when I heard the movie was coming out, I was really super excited about it. And I think my expectations were way too high. And you know how it just kind of ruins it for you? So maybe I would lower my expectations a lot and then watch it again and maybe I would love it if I didn't expect it to be like the book, because movies are
not
like
even a little bit, not even a little bit, yeah,
ever.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Okay, what would you see?
Probably Avengers Endgame, ironically very close sounding to what you said, because yeah, that's the one that came out just 2 years ago, I think it was, that, you know, broke the record for the most money ever brought in by a movie. But, you know, that's a movie that there were 20 some odd movies. I think it was 20 movies leading up to that one. And that was the 21st movie in this long storyline. And that was kind of the end of this entire thing. And it was,
well, it sounds like it. It says Endgame.
Well, and it was, you know, it was epic. And it was one of those experiences that you don't get to have very often. It was an event, you know, people were going to see this again and again.
Yeah.
And I've seen it since then, and it's not as exciting once you know all of the twists and turns and surprises and unexpected this and that. But the really exciting part as it happens was you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming, or I saw that coming, but it's so exciting to actually see it. So I think that would be a lot of fun too.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I only ever saw one.
Yes, Avengers we've talked movie. About that. It was the Avengers.
Oh, did we talk about it on the podcast?
I have the no Avengers. Idea if we talked about it on the podcast. We probably did. So anyway, yeah. So, okay. Next question. If you could choose any two famous people, currently living people, none of this living or dead. Okay. If you could choose, well, you don't want to have dinner with the dead people.
Yeah. Dinner with dead people.
That's the old joke. Oh, if you could have dinner with anyone living or dead, what would you choose? Living? Like that's a very old joke. It's a good joke. It's just an old one. So if you could choose any two famous people to have dinner with, who would they be? And they have to be living.
And do they have to be at the same time?
I don't. They don't have to be. Sure. I don't care.
Can they bring their families?
No. Because then it's not two. Then it's, you know, two and guests.
Oh, man. All right, I'll pick Matt Fred, because I think that he is pretty good at carrying a conversation, and I think that would be a very interesting dinner conversation. I think my husband would also enjoy chatting with him. So we'll take him, and then next up, I know that you had Father Mike on your talk show, but I'd rather have Father Mike over for dinner.
All right.
So I'll have him over for dinner next time. Maybe he can, like, give us a blessing. Oh, that's good. Too, while he's
here. I didn't even think of that.
I'm like planning this out now.
Okay, well,
having people over for dinner is like my thing.
Well, sure, I take this very seriously. These imaginary versions of it. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, so you took my my talk show guest. Well, I'm gonna take your talk show guest. I want to have dinner with Dr. Scott Hahn. And I want to have dinner with Catholic Answers apologist Trent Horn. Now, one thing
I think you would get along with him.
He says a lot of things on his podcast that I'm like, oh, that's, you know, I also saw that, like, you know, liked that as a kid. Oh, I also know about this random thing. That's very bizarre. But one thing I really want to point out with this is I don't want my answer or your answer for that matter to fall into like that famous Catholic, like, oh my gosh, they're, you know, they're such a big deal, you know, like idolatry almost of loving famous.
Oh, like, would you clean your house top to bottom before you have them over kind of thing?
Well, no, I'm thinking like some people hold like famous or well-known Catholics up on this weird pedestal of like, oh my gosh, they're so amazing. I'm like, the reason I want to have, I would want to have dinner with these guys is their fathers, their husbands, they care about the faith. Neither one of them, you know, based on what they've said publicly, neither one of them thinks they're perfect, you know? So like, those are the types of men that I would like to surround myself with. And they're both men that definitely know more than me. So I can learn from them. But I also don't pretend like, you know, Trent Horn and I seem to have things in common based on what I've heard on his show. But also, I don't want to ever fall into that trap of being like, oh my gosh, we like to feel like we know each other or I know him. Like, I don't know him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right.
I've exchanged maybe 3 messages with him in my life via like Twitter and stuff. Like, that doesn't mean I know him. Okay.
No, but when you have, I would at that point get hopefully. To know him.
But yeah, those for the reasons of talking about fatherhood and theology and being husbands, like, I would love to have dinner with guys like that. So, okay, next question: if you could instantly become an expert on something, what would it be?
I would become a chef, like an expert in cooking stuff, because that I feel like that would be practical, and then I could cook great meals for my family.
That is very practical to have that knowledge. You're
I mean, most of the time I just like boil up a pot of noodles and throw some sauce on it. That's like, it'd be nice.
Sounds like a chef to me already. That sounds boiling water and throwing sauce on it. Woo! It's restaurant style.
Fancy dinners.
My first thought when I saw this question, when I wrote it down, was automotive repair, because I know a couple of things.
Yes, be impractical,
but then
again,
Here's the thing, and again, I actually don't want that one because I'm being so practical. I thought about how much it would cost to buy all the stuff to fix the stuff on my own, and not just like, oh, well, I got to get a new car, you know, this item, and oh, okay, well, I got to go buy the item to put it in. No, I'd need all the tools. I'd need whatever equipment to then.
You would need an actual machine shop, and that
exactly.
End up
so that
you
that
money.
Seems like something that would actually get take more time and money. So I'm not going to do that. So after thinking very practically, I went a completely different direction and went with the church fathers. The writings of St. Justin Martyr and Augustine and all of these people who are infinitely smarter than me and wrote in completely different languages. So everything that I could even read of theirs, first of all, how hard is that to understand? But then on top of that, right, it's written at a different time. So with a different inflection, a different whatever, different language.
Oh, you'd be understanding a lot if you were an expert in them, because then you'd understand all of their the errors that they come from that influences their writing.
And that would help me to avoid, you know, or to see where modern heresy exists and to see, okay, well, somebody said this about what we do in the church, and somebody else said this, what we do in the church. And I can sit there and go, well, how about all of these guys who are way smarter than the two of you who are talking, or me? Oh, okay. And they were there. Oh, Justin Martyr was there only a few decades after the resurrection. Yeah. Okay. He had a really good understanding of things, like, you know, so that sort of thing. So I would love to just instantly be an expert in that. Let's go with one more question. If you could magically become fluent in any language, what would it be, and maybe why?
Okay, I guess I would pick Latin at this point right now, because number one, we go to the Latin mass and I still have a hard time understanding, you know, the prayers that they're saying. I'm still learning it all. So it'd be really convenient for me in my situation in life right now to know it. And then secondly, because as part of our classical curriculum that, you know, we're using for homeschool, we're teaching our kids Latin, but it's kind of hard to teach it when you don't know it. So I'm like learning it at the same time as my kids. And actually my oldest kid is probably learning it better and faster than me. But it would be nice for me to know it in order to be able to teach it to him. Plus it's funny, he wants to say the rosary in Latin too. And I'm like, all right, I better learn this Latin. Cause now we're praying in it. So that would be really handy for me to be fluent in Latin.
So
how about you?
I'm not sure. I have these two different directions. One is very similar to my last answer. I would love to know biblical Greek, just for the reason of, like, you know, there are a lot of one of the reasons we have so many different translations of scripture is, like, the Greek word logos, which, you know, means word, also means like four other different things. So translation into English is always going to lose a little something in the translation. So to be able to understand it in the biblical Greek would be fantastic, helpful. It would make ministry easier and make it easier for me to understand scripture. So there's that. But then I also thought, you know, I looked this up, and as of 2019 in North America, there were 314 million people speaking English, but there are 121 million people who are fluent in Spanish or had it as their primary language. And then the next number after that is French with only 16 million. So that is a drastic drop off. And I thought, well, I already sort of speak English. Maybe I'm conversational. I don't know. I'm joking. Anyway, but the other thing is, if I knew Spanish, then I could speak to a lot more people. And I could go around and do ministry in places that other people just, or that I couldn't currently do. I could simply interact mm-hmm. with my, you know, fellow citizens of this country or elsewhere in North America. And there are plenty of other places in the world where people speak Spanish, and it's a beautiful language. So, So one of those two, I think, would be fantastic. But yeah. So we want to thank everybody for listening today. Please do us a favor and subscribe to this podcast and share it with somebody. Whatever you can do, we appreciate it. Sarah, where can people find you?
My website is tojesussincerely.com, and I'm on social media.
And you can find me at chastelove.org or on Instagram and Facebook at thechastelove. And now, in the words of Pope Francis, waste time with your children so that they can realize that love is always free. And remember, you're never alone.